Scripture reading this morning is from the first chapter of the last book in the Bible, Book of Revelation, and we'll be reading beginning at verse 9 down through the end of the chapter. And I am, as has been my habit, reading from the English Standard Version. Revelation 1, beginning at verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, write what you see in a book, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Lord, as we look together at your word this morning, I pray that your spirit would speak to us and you would help us to see with freshness the wonder of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Early in my first pastorate down in California, I had a nightmare. It was the kind of nightmare that has you waking up in a cold sweat. It had nothing to do with life-threatening circumstances or monsters, and had everything to do with the first visit of my district superintendent, who in my dream was coming to hear me preach. Not to speak himself, which would have been okay, but to hear me. And as the dream unfolded, we had an 11 o'clock service. It was 10 to 11, and the organist had started the prelude, and we had a gifted organist playing. It was the only good part of the dream. And I realized that I did not have my notes. Not only did I not have my notes, I didn't have a clue what I was supposed to be preaching. Every preacher's worst nightmare. So I was in my office looking for these notes. And Adriana, you're going to like this. The dear church custodian, recognizing that the district superintendent was coming for a visit, had cleaned my office. Uh-oh. And everything had been moved. Now, those of you that know me well, like my wife, she is going to enjoy this much more than I did, knows that my office tends to be a creative mess. I know where things are. You know, it's a case of everything has a place and everything is in its place. In my mind, where it is where it should be. Now, in Valerie's mind, where it is not where it should be. But she has learned to live with my strange characteristics in that area. She closes the door. I like it, yes. Well, it's a mess. If you look at it, it looks like a mess. But I know where stuff is. Well, my office in this dream was neat as a pin, and I knew where nothing was. Particularly, I didn't know where those notes were. And 11 o'clock came, and I'm digging through stuff in the office looking for these notes. And Janet's out at the organ playing. And it's 5 after 11. And it's 10 after 11. And I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Dick is out there waiting for me to come out. What do I do? 1/4 after 11. I finally woke up in a cold sweat and I never did find those notes. And never did know what it was I was supposed to be preaching on that dream nightmare Sunday. All of that, I suppose, for some anxiety over a visit from my gracious district superintendent. And Dick Houser was a gracious man. I really didn't need to be anxious, but I was. So I remember that dream, and I scratch my head, and I wonder what kind of a state I would have been in had it been Jesus showing up for church that Sunday instead of Dick Houser. Well, that's kind of the problem that John has on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1. Jesus shows up. John says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and hears this voice. It isn't a nightmare for John, but it is a surprise because Jesus shows up. And what I want to do with you for a few minutes this morning is take a quick look at the vision that John experiences here of Jesus. We're not going to go into depth in that. Later, as we start looking at the messages to the seven churches, parts of the description of Jesus will show up again in those messages. But we want to take just a quick look at the vision so you experience a little bit of what John experienced. And then, and this would be where your notes come in on that little gold insert, look at three truths to remember and some specific applications that'll flow out of that. So the vision, first of all. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, John says, and I heard behind me a loud voice. John hears an unexpected voice. Not what he was thinking would happen. What's John doing? Apparently worshiping. And he hears a voice. And the voice is addressing him. write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, and then naming them. Not only an unexpected voice, but an unexpected commission, a specific task that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is assigning to John. Jesus shows up on that Lord's Day on the island of Patmos. I hope deeply that when you show up on the Lord's Day in church, you come with the expectation of hearing not from Malcolm, but from the Lord. That's important. I don't want you to be surprised. Well, maybe I do want you to be surprised. We need to hear from the Lord. And when we open His Word together, He speaks. It's His Word. And I know that when I worship, I need to expect that God is going to speak. I need to expect it. When I'm before Him in prayer, I need to expect that it's not going to be a one-way conversation. Not just me backing up my dump truck of requests and dumping them on the Lord, but my listening to Him as well. John hears, and then he turns around, and John sees. And what he sees is Jesus among these seven lampstands. We're not going to pick this apart this morning, but what I would like for you to do for just a couple of minutes here is simply to close your eyes and listen. And as you listen, I want to read this description of Jesus to you again. Okay? So simply close your eyes, listen, and try to imagine what it is John is seeing. See if you can see what he sees. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars from his mouth. He held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. Got the image? Would you just take 1 minute and turn and in just a couple of words tell someone what you saw in your mind as I was reading those words? It's a unique vision of Jesus. This is not the Jesus that John traveled around Galilee with. This doesn't look like the Jesus who showed up when John was fishing. And if we were to jump ahead in the book of Revelation, it's not the Jesus that shows up in chapter 5, described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but looking like a dead lamb. It's an image of Jesus that tells you something about Jesus. This is an awesome picture. And we'll dig into some of those descriptive phrases over the next few weeks when we start looking at those messages to the churches. This is Jesus, Almighty God. This is Jesus, the ruler. This is Jesus, sovereign. And this is Jesus in the midst of a bunch of lampstands, holding a handful of stars. Well, let's get to those three important truths. Number one, Jesus is in the midst of the lampstands. Why is that important? It's important because of what the lampstands are. And we're told the lampstands are the seven churches. One lampstand for each church. These lampstands represent seven specific, real, local churches of the first century. And Jesus was there in their midst. Now, I know this probably will seem obvious to at least some of you, but it's actually kind of profound. Jesus is in the midst of the churches. And I got to tell you, there are an awful lot of local churches that don't know that. If Jesus were to show up this morning, would it upset things?
In a good way or a bad way?
It kind of reminds me of the pastor that prayed, "Lord, please let something happen that isn't in the order of service." Sometimes we just don't plan for the Lord to show up. We need to plan for Him to show up. And if you come expecting to meet Him, you're coming as you should. You're coming as you should. Jesus is in the midst of the lampstands. He meets us where we are. This was not an image of Jesus up in the clouds somewhere and the lampstands trying to reach Him. That's not what John sees. Jesus is there with them. The Church of Jesus Christ desperately needs to know that Jesus is still the head. And He still delights to be present. That's important truth number one. Jesus is actually in the midst of the lampstands. Important truth number two. Jesus holds the stars in His hand. Holds the stars in His hand. Well, what's this all about? Astronomy? No, well, we're told what the stars are. Again, the stars are the... No, the lampstands of the churches. What are the stars? The angels of the churches. Messengers. The word translated angel means messenger. It's the Greek word for angel is messenger. The task of an angel was to bring a message. And if you look at the angelic appearances in Scripture, that's what happens. When an angel shows up, it's with a message for God's people. Who are the messengers of these churches?
Elders.
Okay. In our context, it would probably be the pastors. And one of my glorious responsibilities is to, for a little while, be the messenger to FTPC. Being a pastor is both an awesome privilege and a sobering responsibility. It's both of those. It's a wonderful thing if you're called to it, and it's a terrible thing if you're not. But I've got to tell you, there is a reason to love it if you're a pastor. You know what I love about being a pastor? One of the things I love about being a pastor is I have it on the authority of God's word that I am held in His hand. Now, that's both comforting and scary. Okay? If you're going to be a messenger for the Lord, recognize that you're held in His hand. It's a good thing. And knowing that becomes for me a kind of a scary motivation to make sure I get it right if I'm delivering a message. To make sure that what I am saying is what God wants me to say to you. Because I want to make sure that what you hear is what He is saying. Not what Malcolm is saying. Jesus holds the stars in His hand. That's pretty important. Third thing that's an important truth in this image of Jesus is that Jesus speaks. He doesn't stand there silently, standing in the midst of the lampstands, holding the stars. There is this two-edged sword protruding from His mouth. As Scripture tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. What is it? The Word of God. He speaks. And He speaks to John. Now, John, when he sees this image, does probably what you or I would do. When I saw him, verse 17 says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, and this is a big right hand the Lord has, because it's also holding seven stars, saying, fear not. I love that he starts there. Fear not. If you're going to come into the presence of God in worship, that's probably the first thing you need to hear. Because there is not a one of us that is qualified on our own to step into God's presence and expect Him to accept us. The first thing Jesus says to John is, fear not, when John falls down. Fear not! I am the first and the last and the living one. John, just in case you haven't got it figured out, I am Jesus. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. John, I'm the one that went to Calvary, remember? It's been a while. Probably been about 60 years since both John and Jesus had been at Calvary. And this was not what Jesus looked like at Calvary. I died. And now I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. I hold the keys. Verse 19, write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. Write. John, I've got something for you to do. I've got a task for you. Now, I confess there are times when I want Jesus to show up and give somebody else a task. And if Jesus needs some help, I can tell him what the task is. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. When Jesus shows up, the chances are he's going to have something to say to me. And I need to be concerned with what he has to say to me, not with what he has to say to somebody else. John, write what you've seen, what is, what will be. I want you to write it and send it to the seven churches because they need to know it. I need to come into God's presence with the expectation that he is going to speak to me and that he is going to very likely give me something to do. By the way, I expect that is going to be true in heaven as well. When you get there, you're probably not going to be napping. God's going to have some stuff for you to do. He speaks. And the question, of course, has to be, am I listening? And the convicting answer is sometimes I'm not, but I need to be. Well, before I totally run out of time, let me leave you with just a few takeaways from this passage. Some specific applications. Number one, Jesus is still present with and Lord of his church. Jesus is still present with and Lord of his church. He hasn't quit being among the lampstands. It is still his church. He's still Lord. Don't ever forget it. Because what that means, part of what that means, is that Jesus is still present with and Lord of Foster Tuckwilla Presbyterian Church. You got it? Jesus is still present with and Lord of this specific local church, this lampstand. And I'm glad he is. Third thing, Jesus holds Foster's next pastor in his hand. I don't know who that is. And I'm here to tell you that I don't think the pastor nominating committee knows who it is yet. But they're at work. They're talking to people. And they're listening to people. And God's at work. But I know, on the authority of Scripture, that God has Foster's next pastor in his hand now. And if you're on that search team, be encouraged by that. And fourth, he still speaks. And I still need to listen. It's quite a vision, isn't it? Some kind of trip when Jesus shows up. Reveals himself and speaks to us. He delights to do so. And I need to delight to listen. Lord, thank you for unveiling yourself. Thank you for being among your churches. Thank you for holding your messengers. Thank you for speaking. Lord, help us to listen and to respond to you, the awesome, sovereign, all-powerful, all-loving God that you are, who died for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As the team comes to lead us, invite you to stand once more if you're comfortable doing so. And let's sing again, "Behold Our God."
In his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand, kings and nations tremble at his voice, all creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore him. Given counsel to the Lord, who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. has felt the nails upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore him. You will reign forever, you will reign forever, you will reign forever, you will reign forever, you will reign forever. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore. Behold our God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King, nothing can compare, come let us adore him.
There will be prayer team members up front if you would like to avail yourself of that opportunity for prayer. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.